Chapter 7. A Dishonest Husband and Wife, Punished. This chapter is based on Acts 4, verse 32 to 5:11. As the disciples proclaimed the gospel, a multitude believed. Many of these early believers were immediately cut off from family and friends, and it was necessary to provide them with food and shelter. Those among the believers who had money and possessions cheerfully sacrificed to meet the emergency. Selling their houses or lands, they brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Their love for their brethren and the cause they had espoused was greater than their love of money and possessions. They accounted souls of higher value than earthly wealth. In sharp contrast was the conduct of Ananias and Sapphira. These professed disciples had heard the gospel preached by the apostles. They had been present when the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 4, verse 31. Under the direct influence of the Spirit of God, Ananias and Sapphira had made a pledge to give to the Lord the proceeds from the sale of a certain property. Afterward, they began to regret their promise and yearly to feelings of covetousness. They thought they had been too hasty and decided not to fulfill their pledge. Ashamed to have their brethren know that their selfish souls grudged that which they had solemnly dedicated to God, they deliberately decided to sell their property and pretend to give all into the general fund, but to keep a large share for themselves. Thus, they would secure their living from the common store and at the same time gain the esteem of their brethren. But God notes hypocrisy and falsehood. Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit, and their sin was visited with swift judgment. When Ananias came with his offering, Peter said, "Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. No undue influence had been brought to bear on Ananias to compel him to sacrifice his possessions. He had acted from choice. But in attempting to deceive the disciples, he had lied to the Almighty. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yes, for so much." But Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Hark, the feet of those that have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Immediately she fell down at his feet and died. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. RSV. Why this manifestation of God's wrath? Infinite wisdom saw that this manifestation of the wrath of God was necessary to guard the young church from becoming demoralized. The church would have been endangered if, in the rapid increase of converts, men and women had been added who were worshiping Mammon. This judgment was a warning to the church to avoid pretense and hypocrisy and to beware of robbing God. God has made the proclamation of the gospel dependent on the labors and gifts of his people, voluntary offerings, and the tithe. God claims the tenth. He leaves all free to say whether to give more than this. But when the heart is stirred by the Holy Spirit and a vow is made to give a certain amount, the one who vows has no longer any right to the consecrated portion. Are promises made to God less binding than written agreements of men? When divine light is shining into the heart with unusual clearness, habitual selfishness relaxes its grasp, and there is a disposition to give to God. But Satan is not pleased to see the Redeemer's kingdom on earth built up. He suggests that the pledge was too much, that it may cripple their efforts to acquire property or gratify the desires of their families. God blesses men and women with property that they may be able to give to His cause. He gives them health and the ability to acquire means. In turn, He would have them show their gratitude by returning tithes and offerings. Should means flow into the treasury in accordance with this divinely appointed plan, there would be an abundance for the advancement of the Lord's work. But hearts become hardened through selfishness. Like Ananias and Sapphira, many spend money lavishly in self-gratification, while they bring to God, almost unwillingly, a stinted offering. They forget that God will no more accept the pittance they hand into the treasury than He accepted the offering of Ananias and Sapphira. God would have us learn how deep is His hatred for hypocrisy and deception. Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit and lost this life and the life that is to come. God declares that into the holy city there shall in no wise enter anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Revelation 21, verse 27. Let truth-telling become a part of the life. Playing fast and loose with truth means shipwreck of faith. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Ephesians 6, verse 14. He who utters untruths sells his soul in a cheap market. He may seem to make business advancement that he could not gain by fair dealing, but finally, he can trust no one. Himself a falsifier, he has no confidence in the word of others. In the case of Ananias and Sapphira, fraud against God was speedily punished. The same sin is committed by many in our time. It is no less heinous in His sight now than in the apostles' time. The warning has been given. All who give themselves up to hypocrisy and covetousness are destroying their own souls.